Hey family, this is Sarah Jakes Roberts, and I am so excited about the incredible word that you're about to receive. There are just a few things I want to tell you before we dig into the word. Number one, let's make this thing official. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. You're already plugged in. Make sure you don't miss anything that comes out of this house. The second thing, did you know that it's more than just videos? We are doing so much to help the community, and we want you to partner with us in literally changing the world. Give into this ministry so the fruit of it is incredible. The instructions are on the screen. Make sure that you are a part of what God is doing through One Online. Lastly, my husband's book, Balance, is coming out, and I am so excited, and I got a gift for you. You will get the first three chapters of the book by going to the link below. When you pre-order the book. You don't want to miss it. It has tremendously blessed my life, and I can't wait for you to see what I've already partaken in. Balance is going to rock this world. Okay, let's get into the word.
Hallelujah. I'm so excited. Like I said, today is Pentecost Sunday. You can sit, you can stand, whatever you like to do. If you're going to join me, you can do a two-step. And what I love so much, as we were even singing that song, that God will build his church. The beauty, family, is that you are God's church. The Bible calls you God's building. You see, when we come under here, this building is not the church without you. What makes this building the church is you. The Greek word actually for church is ekklesia. And it talks about the called out ones, not the brick and mortar, not drywall. It's the called out ones that you are God's church. And when we come together in this room, the gathering, first of all, reflects the unity of the Lord, the unity of the Godhead. But when we come together, it is to build God's building, which is you. You see, I love it so much. There was a scripture when Jesus said to Peter, and he said, Peter, he says, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And a lot of times we thought that Jesus meant he would build the church on a person, Peter. But Jesus was very careful with his words. Because when he said, you are Peter, and when he said, upon this rock, Peter means rock. But the words that Jesus used were two different words. When he says, you are Peter, he's speaking to a name, you are Peter. But when he says, upon this rock, when I was studying that word, the Greek actually gives this feminine word for rock. Jesus was talking about the revelation that Peter was walking in. Because right before that, when Jesus was like, who do you say that I am? And what do people say that I am? And Peter said, you are Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Father knew, Jesus knew that this only came from the Father. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father that is in heaven revealed this to you. Then he's talking about upon the rock of revelation. But who is the source of revelation? The Holy Spirit. When we celebrate the day of Pentecost, when we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we are celebrating the fact that Jesus' words will be indeed fulfilled, that he will build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. You see, when we look at the world right now, it may look like the gates of Hades are prevailing. Every other day you're hearing about a shooting. Just this morning, I heard about another one that happened in Philadelphia last night. And what is it doing in the lives of our people? Fear. Now you're wondering, where can I go? Where is safe? But the beauty of the Lord is that no matter where we are not hidden from his sight. And as much as the enemy wants to torment us with this fear, there is a greater fear that activates us and awakens us into purpose, and that is the fear of the Lord. You see, when the Holy Spirit came upon us, it wasn't just an energy or goosebumps. Unfortunately, sometimes in the church, we make the Holy Spirit, we minimize him to goosebumps. You could feel that in a cold room. And you can feel it in the presence of the Holy Spirit. But you cannot minimize him to a feeling or an experience. Because when you look at the Holy Spirit as an experience, that's the difference between doing church and being the church. When you look at it as an experience, then you're like, "Who? I can't wait for Sunday. I hope you're going to sing my songs," right? Y'all are laughing because you know. I hope my favorite person is going to bring the word. You make it an experience. But when you are the church, you bring the experience everywhere you go. You said, "I am walking in the presence of God. Everywhere I go, I have the consciousness that the Lord is with me. Everywhere I go, I have the consciousness that the Spirit of the Lord is with me." You see, we have missed it so many times about what it means to have the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we make it seem like you only have the Holy Spirit if you know how to speak in tongues. How many people sometimes struggle with that? If you're in this room, let me see your hand up. I see you. We think that to have the Holy Spirit means that you must speak in an unknown tongue. But when we look back at what happened on the day of Pentecost, actually, let me even read something to you before we really go into today's message. In the book of Acts, so Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 8, it says this: "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." He didn't possess them, as he gave them utterance. "And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?'" When the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, the mark of the Holy Spirit wasn't the fact that they were speaking in unknown tongues. Unknown tongues was to serve a purpose of unity. The last time that you see people, because in this scripture, it talks about how everyone from every nation, men from every nation, were gathered in this place. The last time you see something like this happen was in Genesis 11. Many of you might be familiar with the Tower of Babel. It was a time when the whole world had one language. But they came together to kind of come together on a plan that did not glorify God. But God recognized that anything you are united in will stand. And he could not allow them to be united in evil. So the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came down, that he was part of the ones that came down, because God came down. He came down to confuse their language so that the world would not be united in evil. So when the Holy Spirit is making another appearance to come down, he says this time is going to bring unity. Because I'm going to reveal that under the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus, we are united as one. That we can move as one. Because the church is about being the body and Jesus is the head. And the body needs each part. We are all parts of the body. When the Holy Spirit was speaking in tongues, and that was why it was tongues of men. Because there are tongues that you can sometimes, for those that even pray in the spirit, when you pray in the spirit, you sometimes don't even know what you're saying. It doesn't even sound like a language that exists some of the time. So when they were praying, they were speaking in tongues of men, glorifying God in those tongues. What was the Spirit doing? Unity. Why am I saying this? A couple days ago, I was in prayer and I said, Lord, reveal to me what is the message to your people on Pentecost Sunday. When I went to bed, I said, Lord, just speak to me, whether I'm awake, I'm waiting on you. But as I was going to bed, I said, speak to me, because first of all, I really value my dreams. It is such a consecrated time. If you do research, you realize that the average person sleeps for about 26 years of their life. And if I'm going to sleep for that long, I need to encounter God while I'm sleeping, okay? So I take my dreams, I take the time of rest very seriously. So I said, you know what, Lord, I've been in prayer. And as I'm going to bed, speak to me. What is it that you have to say to your people? As I was waking up the next morning, I kept hearing a group of people say a certain phrase. And it was this word, I am evidence. I am evidence. And they kept repeating it over and over and over again. And I began to seek the Lord. I said, what is this phrase about? And he said, you will say to my people that I am making them evidence of my power, of my authority, of my love, of my unity, of my compassion. You see, because there was something that stood out to me when Jesus was speaking to the disciples about waiting for the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, again, chapter 1, verse 8, he says this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the end of the earth. Now, I was so intrigued by this because already I'm like, Lord, weren't they already a witness? They had seen you. They had been with you. Jesus had, you know, he was on the cross. He was buried, resurrected, came back 40 days. He was chilling with them. He showed them his hands. He showed them the hole in his hands, the hole on his side, everything. I'm like, God, if you needed them to testify of you, shouldn't they already be a witness? Couldn't they already speak and say, look, as a group, we saw the Lord. He resurrected. He is not asleep. He is not dead. He is living. Couldn't they be a witness already? And he began to reveal to me this very thing. He said, no, it was about them being evidence that I still live. About them being evidence of my power. That it would be revealed through their lives and through their words. And so that is why when you see the disciples, because the whole book of Acts, the book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles. But it was the Acts of the Apostles empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord began to show me that every single one in this room, everyone hearing my voice, to open yourself up to be evidence of God's power. You see, when we were worshiping, Pastor Roosevelt said something I love. He said, if you're looking for the solution, if you're looking for the people that would bring the answer, God is going to do it through you. And so often we count ourselves out because we're like, well, I'm not the preacher. I'm not that person. But when Jesus said that you would bring the gospel into all the world, it is every industry, every sector, in beauty, in fashion, in sports, in education, in law, in the government, in every single area, Jesus says, you would represent me. You see, today was so interesting for me. I'm someone who, personally, I love a lot of things. I love fashion. I love, you know, fishing sometimes. Maybe just the boat, but not the smell of the fish. But to be honest, sometimes you feel like you can't bring all of yourself in every space. Sometimes you feel like, yeah, you know, the preacher version of me needs to look more, you know, boring and modest and quiet. But here's the thing, family. The Holy Spirit does not anoint personality. The Holy Spirit is attracted to and anoints a surrendered heart. Why am I saying this? Because while I was in prayer for you, the Lord began to show me why you're counting yourself out. I don't look the part. I don't sound the part. This could not be the thing that God wants me to do. Have you seen who I'm around? Lord, I know I come to church on Sunday, but have you seen my friends? I know if I'm just with them, they might drag me straight to hell. But God is not looking for you to look like something. He says, what is in you? That's why the beauty of the word says that man looks at the outer appearance, but God judges the heart. It doesn't matter what you came here looking like. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. One of the things that happened on the day that the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples is that they had a boldness. And that is what we need in this time and in this generation, to be bold for God. Wherever he has called us to plant, wherever he has called us to build, to reveal our boldness to proclaim his name. You see, sometimes we make proclaiming and talking about our faith like this negative thing. Someone is like, hey, what are you doing? You know, I just got to do this thing. And after, I'm free for brunch, but this thing is church. Someone is asking you, maybe you're reading this beautiful book. You're doing something. You're like, hey, what are you reading? They're like, you might not be interested. It's like a religious book. You know, it might not float your boat. What are we doing? What we need in this time is not just boldness out there, but also boldness in the privacy of our homes. You see, some of the evil and the chaos we are seeing, what would it look like if we believed that, God, you can change the world through me? How would we pray? How would we seek? When we wake up in the morning, what would life look like if we stepped outside the box of our problems? That we stepped outside all the things that we're like, God, you know, I just need this. I'm just trying to pay this. I just need, like, what would life look like if it was not just about your problems, but if you began to see life through, God, I want to be evidence of your authority. I want to be evidence that you have victory over every principality and power. I want to be evidence that I cannot be in a city and this is what is happening in my city. I want to be evidence that, Lord, when I'm seeking you in prayer, that you would reveal to me what are the plans of the enemy so that I can go to war against it. Lord, I want to be evidence that when I'm even going into a grocery store, let me be evidence of your love. Do you know that some of the people who are doing these things, they're simply just broken? Broken, hurt, and offended? And the enemy is using that brokenness for his agenda? What would it have looked like if they encountered the love of God through a person? What would it have looked like if someone was just not so focused about their day and all the things they wanted to accomplish, and they were able to pause and see pain in someone's eyes and say, hey, I noticed you. Are you okay? Is there something you would like to talk about? You see, today I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to seek God beyond the goosebumps. I want to challenge you to seek God beyond, like, ooh, I just feel the Lord in this room right now. I want you to challenge you to seek the nature of Christ, the ways of Christ, the life of Christ. Because, you know, when he was walking with his disciples, they were not walking like, oh my gosh, I just feel chills. But they were mesmerized by his leadership. They were mesmerized by his heart. They didn't ask him, Lord, can you teach us how we could, you know, do a little stump sometimes? They said, Lord, can you teach us how to pray? Why did they say teach us how to pray? Out of all the things the disciples could have asked Jesus to teach them, he said, teach us how to pray. Because they noticed his effectiveness. They noticed his leadership. They noticed how he executed the plans of God. Family, on this Pentecost Sunday, I want this day to be a reminder to you that the Lord is looking at you and he is calling you the evidence, that you would be the evidence of his goodness, that your testimony would be in evidence. Maybe you're going through something right now, and you're wondering, God, when would this ever end? Don't make it about you. Make it about being evidence. That God, this testimony will declare and glorify your name. It may look like everything is working against me, but God, you have the victory, and I will be evidence. You see, family, however you are, God is calling you. And some of you have been running away from the call of God for so long because you thought it was supposed to look like something that it's not. You've been running away from the call of God for so long because of how people judged what that should be in your life. But God is calling you. He's calling you right where you are, in the industry he has placed you, to have boldness for him. You see, what I love about evidence is that you cannot contest it. It is what it is. You see, when the disciples, after being filled by the Holy Spirit, when they were walking, the Bible tells us that they were going to the temple for the time of prayer. And there was a man who was born lame from birth. And he saw the disciples and he looked at them. And he's asking them, basically, he was not even asking them to heal him. He was seeking them to give him some money. And the disciples looked at him and staring at him, they said, look at us. They said, look, silver and gold we do not have, but what we have we give unto you. Rise up and walk. Immediately power entered this man's legs, that he was able to get up, and even to the point he was jumping and praising God. You see, when the disciples told that man, rise up and walk, I am led to believe that was an instruction of the Holy Spirit. That when the man looked at them asking for alms, the Holy Spirit said, tell him to rise up and walk. As I was praying for you, the Lord showed me that some of the most supernatural healings that will happen in our time, it's not really going to be from the pastors or the prophets. It's going to be from you. It's going to be from each and every one of you. Why am I saying that? Because the Holy Spirit did not fall on titles. The Holy Spirit fell on people. The Bible says that in the last days which we are in, the last days began the moment the Holy Spirit fell. He says that the Holy Spirit will fall on all your sons and daughters, and everyone will prophesy. The beauty of this word, family, the Holy Spirit is not falling on a title. It's not falling on a class. It's not falling on a race. And the Holy Spirit is God. You have to recognize what you get when you get the Holy Spirit. You receive God. And it is his power that works through you. And so for some of you, you're going to start hearing instructions. It's nothing that will put you in danger. The instructions of the Lord will never put you in harm's way. But you're going to hear instructions that will take you out of your comfort zone. It will take you out of your norm. Can you imagine someone coming to you and the Lord says, I want you to now pray for this person. Pray for what they did not even ask for. Do you know what that takes? I'm not even pulling on your faith. You see, many times when we pray, we say that we need to agree in faith. This has nothing to do with your faith. This has everything to do with what the Holy Ghost has already purposed to do for you. Do you know what it looks like that a man did not even ask to be healed? But they had the boldness. The Holy Spirit did not possess their words. They had to speak it in faith. In the moment, it was not that God came down from heaven and showed them that he's ready to lift this boy up. Everything requires faith. They heard something, and all they knew to do, God, I'm going to follow this word. They look at the man, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. Get up and walk. Can I tell you something? A lot of times when you see miracles happen, many times, even the person praying, sometimes they're unsure what's going to happen. You're just stepping out in faith. because you heard God say something. It is not to look at yourself as, oh my gosh, this person is so high and mighty in God. We are all trusting God. I remember there was a time, this was like a couple of years back. I was heading to church. It was like on a midweek. I was heading to church and the Lord shows me a vision of a lady. I see this lady so well, like I could draw a picture of her if I could draw. I get to the church and I see the lady and he talks to me about the lady. He shows me the lady, shows me her sister. So I get to the church and literally I see the sister sitting like right in the front row. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is the girl. I just saw her. But what the Lord showed me is that the lady who came has a sister who I also saw who has walking. She has issues walking. And that should tell the lady to bring her sister to church the following Sunday and that to pray for her because God has already purposed to heal her. Some of our prayer team members were in the church. So I was like, all right, you know. Now, if you see me in action, you would think I was so confident and bold. I said, hello, ma'am. Do you have a sister? And she's like, yes. I said, does she have problems with her leg? She said, yes. I said, you know what? The Lord is going to heal her. Bring her to the house of God. I walked away. I said, Father, Lord, please do it. Oh, Jesus. I said, God, you got to move. The following church service, the lady came with a walker. I said, all right, all right, all right. We waited for the church and everyone left. It was only a few of us. Chi-Chi, one of our prayer ministers, Chi-Chi was with me and a few other people. So we go to the lady, she has a walker. And I was like, you know, ma'am, I want you to give me the walker. And I want you to run. And in my head, I'm telling you what, people don't tell you this. In my head, I said, oh God. If she falls, it's on the church. I said, Lord Jesus, help me. But the whole time, you don't know what's happening in my head. I said, just give me the walker, ma'am. And I'm praying in the spirit. I said, oh God, it is your word. Your name is on the line. So we take the walker from her. And at first, that child, I was behind her. I said, just in case, I will be a catch guard. So the lady is walking, and while I'm behind her, she's still wobbling. And the Lord says, get away. Everything we do is faith, family. And I said, all right, Lord, I heard you now. You said it. Okay. So I get away. I walk away. I said, you know what? And other people were trying to call. I said, no, no, no. Don't walk behind her. But you know what happened at the end of the day? She carried her walker home. She was the one who carried the walker and put into the car because she was able to walk, jog, and run. Why am I saying this, family? When you see miracles happen, you don't look at the person. You look at the Lord. Because all we are doing is being obedient to what we heard. That when we say something, it's not that anyone is more special than the other. We are simply being obedient to what the Holy Spirit is instructing us. So as the Holy Spirit will begin to instruct you, and it may be in the place of prayer, it may be in the place of your creativity, it may be in the place of work, whatever the Lord begins to download to you. Because you see, one thing the Lord has taught me about the Holy Spirit, when it came to Jesus, the Bible says that he had the Holy Spirit without measure. And like I said earlier, the Holy Spirit was released for us to receive him without measure. But why is it stated without measure? Because you can receive him within measure. That's why sometimes it looks different on people. Sometimes it's like, wait, why is it that this happened when you did that, but it didn't happen when this person did that? You can receive him within measure if there are areas of your life you're blocking him out of. Because as a believer, there is a measure of the Spirit that flows through you. The moment you come and say, Lord, you can have my life, right? And when we say that, we say that in seed form, okay? When we say, God, I give you everything, take it all. We haven't yet walked in it. We don't know what take it all means, to walk in, take it all. So we say that in faith and in seed form. So when you say yes to Jesus, you experience a certain measure of the Holy Spirit. It is the measure of the Holy Spirit that confirms within you that you are indeed a child of God. It is the measure of the Holy Spirit that says, you know what, you belong to me. That is the measure of the Holy Spirit that when you're walking, you have the confidence that, look, even though my life may look chaotic, I know I belong to the Father. I know that he sees me. I know that I'm loved by God. But there is another measure of the Holy Spirit. And this is when we can slowly but surely get in the space where we begin to receive him to the point where it could be without measure. And that is connected to your alignment. It is connected to your obedience. It is connected to your stewardship. It is connected to your heart posture. That when the Lord is instructing you to do something, how do you respond? Because he flows through obedience. When you begin to block him in different areas of your life, you say, you know what, Lord, in my business, I need a different spirit there. But in my home, I honor you all day. But when you're blocking him in the business, you don't realize that you are limiting the measure that you can receive of his nature. And so to receive the Holy Spirit without measure is a place of complete and absolute surrender. That is the place where we constantly say, God, search my heart. God, whatever is in my heart that does not glorify you, God, take it out. I did this a few days ago. I do it constantly. But a few days ago, one of the things the Lord showed me, I was even a little surprised. You know, sometimes you might shock yourself by what is in your heart. And when he showed it to me, I said, God, now help me. I do not want to live in deception to myself. Because you see, sometimes we don't even know what is in our heart until an opportunity presents itself. Because you would be like, no, that would never be me. Have you ever done that? You see, I grew up, I'm Nigerian, right? I grew up in a Nigerian household. And Nigerians sometimes, you know, they might be just having a conversation and you might think they're fighting. Now, I was, so then imagine when they're actually fighting, you know? The anger is on a different level. And so I grew up, I was very quiet, very calm, very, you know, chill. And I used to wonder, I'm like, man, looks-wise, yeah, I look exactly like my mom. But if not, I would be wondering, was I adopted in this family? Because everyone is the same, and I'm over here just quiet on the side, you know, just chilling, doing my business, right? And I would be like, nah, I could never get that angry. No, never, never. It's just not me. It sounds weird. Shouting is even weird in my mouth. And you're just like, never, until the day that I saw myself. I looked in the mirror, I saw all my family members that day. You see, sometimes you don't even know what is in your heart. But you have to come before the Lord and say, God, you search me. Whatever is in here that does not glorify you, take it out. But family, God is making you evidence. He is making you evidence. He is building his church, his mission, his mandate upon you. You see, when the people, the very people that put a hit on our Lord, when they heard Peter speaking, when they heard John speaking, they were confused. When they saw the miracle, they were like, wait, what is happening here? Because they thought they killed the man. They thought they killed the mission, but they couldn't stop neither. Because Jesus was revealing himself through his disciples. And that is what I love about this scripture I wanted to read to you before I went away, went somewhere. But when you go into the, when you look in the Bible, just read the whole Bible, right? There's a scripture that literally talks about when the people, this is in the book of Acts, when the people saw the man that was healed, they said that there's nothing we can do because he is right here. Evidence. And this is who God is going to make you on this earth. You see, I want you to recognize that even in the midst of all the chaos, it doesn't mean that the kingdom of God is asleep. You see, in that same scripture that it said that many would be offended and the love of many would grow cold. But before the end comes, it says, and the gospel would reach the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. But the gospel reaching the ends of the earth, it's not about a building being planted in every city. It's not that, oh, there will be a church in every nation in regards to a building. It means the church would rise up in every nation. That you would reveal the goodness and the authority of God wherever God has planted you. That you would be an evidence and a witness to his name in every place. And then the Bible says, then the end will come. What I love about that, family, is that even in the midst of chaos, that the gospel would rise. That in the midst of chaos, that we would actually recognize where our help truly comes from. Because what we're seeing in the world today does not mean that is the will of God, no. These are plans of the enemy being acted out. But the Lord says, in the midst of it, I would raise my people and they would be known throughout the earth. This is not a time to back down in fear of man, fear of circumstances, fear of a crisis. But this is a time to rise up in the fear of the Lord. You see, that word, I'm so intrigued, that word witness, that also speaks to being evidence, comes from the root word that is about being a martyr. Now, I want to live for Jesus too, okay? Because being a martyr is to die for the Lord. I want to live for the Lord, okay? But why I love that word is because it reminds us when the Lord talks about how to follow him and to serve him is to love your own life, that you're willing to lay down your life to the point of death. Now, this is not about dying per se, but this is about what are you willing to strip away from you that you can boldly decree and declare who God is to you. What are you willing? You see, so many times we're so concerned about pleasing people. We're so concerned about what people will think of us. If I do this, what would they say about me? If I do that, what would they say about me? And Jesus is saying, to be evidence, you have to be willing to die. To die of self. And to step in into the truth of who you really are. And family, it's a fight. I'm not saying this because it just happens. It's a fight. You have to make that decision every single day. That you have to show up every single day. And say, even in the face of fear, God, I will speak. Even in the face of this, God, I will do it. Lord, you told me to do what? In my mind, I'm battling. But I will say and declare exactly as you have said it. A good friend of mine, Darius, I don't know if he's in the house right now. He might be with his family. Y'all know Darius. He has a small group. But Darius is one of the people on our photographer's team, incredible photographer. But I remember a story a couple years ago. This is what I'm talking about, obedience. There was a conference not too far from here. You see, when they have like the Azusa revivals and things like that, and they remember it, and they were having this crusade in honor of what took place with the Azusa revival. So we were all meeting up there. So then there was a man at the crusade who was blind in one eye. And I remember Darius called me on the phone, and he was like, "Stephanie, how far are you? There's a man here that needs prayer." I said, "Bro, you got it." I said, "Pray for that man. You got it." He prayed for that man, and his eyes opened up. You see, what I love is that even in that moment, he was like, "Yeah, I have the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray for this man." And when he prayed for the man, when I came over, everyone was raving. They were like, "Oh my gosh, Darius prayed for this man." And his eyes opened up. I said, "That is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit." Family, don't fear what God wants to do through your life. Don't back down. Don't put yourself in a box and say, "This is who I am. I only do things this way. I don't pray like those people. I don't sound like that." God does not anoint personality. He anoints surrenderedness. You see, the person that could pray loud and the person that could pray like an introvert, all is heard by the Lord. Whoever you are, however you are, he made you that way. And he wants to use you. So family, rise with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, like I mentioned, I feel like there for some of you here, this moment would really feel like a moment of life and death. And I say that in the sense of you've been running. Run, I mean, if you have watched Forrest Gump, you could outrun him. Running from your call because you just felt like, "God, it's not me. It's not, I don't look the part. I don't sound, God, it cannot be me." But when the Lord showed me and he was spotlighting you, I'm telling you what we're going to see, as much as we're seeing the enemy turn up in these days, you're going to see the power of God turn up in a way like never before. And family, he wants to use you. And if I'm speaking to you, one of the things I always ask the Holy Spirit to do in moments like this is that he will begin to press upon your heart in a way that it would feel like your chest is on fire. In a way that he would make himself known through his fire. That is always a prayer of mine. That it would be undeniable that God is after you. That you would not need to guess that maybe, no, we don't guess in the kingdom. We know, we have conviction in the kingdom. And if I'm speaking to you, I want you to come down to this altar right now. You've been running from your call. And God says, "It's you. It's always been you. It's always been you. It's always been you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, with everything that you are." You see, there is even someone the Lord is showing me. And you've tried to dumb it down. You've tried to play it. It's a lady. And you're very colorful. You're very loud. And you've tried to play it down. And he says, "No, bring all of yourself. All of yourself. I want all of you." Family, you don't have to run. I get it. I get that sometimes it could feel like, even for me, this might be a little carnal, but it's my truth. I've been wearing black, you know, black colored hair for some time. That when I put this blonde and I said, "Oh, Lord." Even though it's my favorite color, But to be honest, I was not bothered because I didn't like it. I was bothered because I'm like, I'm going to church. But who said that? Why do we put this limitation on ourselves? Why do we try to put ourselves in a box when God is saying, look, everything that you are, let me use it. And what is not of me, what would actually speak against me, I will convict your heart of. And I will begin to uproot. But family, I want you to know that God is saying that you will be evidence. All of you. All of you would be evidence. Trust him. You see, the best place to act out is in the hands of God. Because he can weigh you properly. The Bible says that God would weigh out the intentions of man. God knows when you trust yourself in the hands of God. Even though you thought that, okay, maybe I didn't have any, you know, ill meaning towards this. The Lord will weigh it out. He will say, actually, you're relying too much on this. I need you to strip it down. Actually, the Lord can convict your heart of things. Because anything you make an idol is working against you. But if the Lord weighs your heart and he weighs your intention and he sees there's no harm here. Don't let the words of others try to corrupt something that has nothing wrong with it. So family, who else am I speaking to? If you are in this room, I want you to come out of your seat wherever you are and come down to this altar. God is calling you. You are evidence. I see you. I see you coming out. Whoever you are, don't hold back. Don't hold back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just love the Lord so much. And in the same way, be transparent with others. Speak to others about your journey. You see, in this life, we are all just walking by faith. We are all trusting God. We're all leaning towards him. We're all in that journey of saying, God, I surrender daily. I want to be used by you fully. Anything in my life that would be an idol, Lord, take it away. It's not that deep. But if there is something that I felt like, God, I can't bring it to you, Lord, show me how to be bold before you. Show me how to bring all of myself to glorify and testify of your goodness. Family, I want you to just raise your hand with me in this room. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. You are such a good and mighty God. Lord, on this day of Pentecost, as we remember how the Spirit of the Lord fell, Lord God, we are making that commitment that, Lord, because we have your Spirit, we are empowered to be all that you say we are. Because we have you, Lord, you are God. And because we have you, Lord, who can stop us? We are part of an unstoppable mission. And as we come in alignment with your truth, Lord, you would reveal your power through us. Lord, I thank you for radical obedience all throughout this room in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that your sons and daughters will stop questioning, am I anointed enough to pray for this person? Am I anointed enough to do this very thing? Am I the one to create this? Am I the one to build this? But they would know it's not about what you know, but who you know. And Lord, because we know you, you are the source of all things creative. You are the source of all power. You are the source of all authority. You are the source of it all. I thank you, Lord, because even the introverts in the room, that they would know that because they could just say, it is well with you. That if that is all they could say in a prayer, that the Lord will hear it and move on their behalf. I thank you, Lord, that we are breaking down the structures of religion and we are being built upon the wings of relationship. That, Lord, we know that every time we speak, that you hear us. And that in itself is enough. Heavenly Father, we surrender. And Lord, we come before you now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would begin to reveal to your sons and daughters, and myself included, if there is anything in us that does not glorify you, if there is anything that we have idolized that does not glorify you, if there is a person or whatever that we have made God over you, Lord, begin to reveal and cast it down in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, remove our heartstrings from anything that is not of you in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. Lord, I pray for a breakthrough and a deliverance from idols and addiction in the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, you said you would build your church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Lord, we are coming for the battle. We are not waiting for a battle. We are coming knowing that we are bringing victory to everything that belongs to us, oh God. Lord, I pray over our nations. The evil we see in our nations, the darkness we see. Lord, for this reason you said that we are light. And we should let our light so shine. I pray, Heavenly Father, that for any of us that we have been hiding our light, we have been covering our light, we have been dumbing down our light, we have been settling and acting like we don't even have a light. Lord, I pray that on this day, that we will let our light so shine. Lord, may this mark the spot for us that we will let our light so shine and no devil in hell would come against that light in the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray that when we wake up in the morning, we will not just be consumed by personal issues, but Lord, we will begin to decree and declare, what is the solution that you created me for? Heavenly Father, I cannot exist in my community and there are people dying senselessly, oh God. Lord, may you awaken a fire within us. Because the same spirit that fell on the disciples is the same spirit that we have access to. Lord, I pray that we will not live a life that degrades the anointing upon our lives. I pray that we will not live a life that is beneath the investment you have placed on our life. I pray, oh God, that on this day you would activate and light a fire within us, oh God, that we would begin to see that every place that we walk in, that we are not looking for an experience. We are bringing the kingdom, oh God. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would train our perception to see like you see. That we would not see calamity and see fear. But Lord God, that you would equip us. That we will begin to ask the right questions. We would not say, where can I hide, oh God? But we will say, Lord, where am I needed? What can I do when I am supported and empowered and backed by the hosts of heaven? Heavenly Father, you're showing me your fire, oh God. Lord, I pray that you set us on fire. I pray that you set us on fire for us to see your fire in our nations, in our families, in our communities, oh God. We have to burn for you. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that as we are before you on this day, may it mark a spot. And I pray, Lord God, that to everyone in this room, everyone listening to this message, on this day you would give them an instruction that would reveal that Jesus still lives. You will give them an instruction, and as they carry it out, it would reveal that they are the evidence that you are still on the throne, that you have authority over it all, and that we are only revealing the victory that you already won for us, God. Lord, set us on fire. Set us on fire. In everything that we do, Lord, set us on fire. Set us on fire for your glory. Set us on fire for you, oh God. Set us on fire. I want you to stay in this posture. We're not all the way getting into worship, but I'm going to have Pastor Roosevelt come. I want you to stay in this posture right now. I see that the Holy Spirit is about to do something, and I don't want to rush out of this moment. I see that the Lord is about to do something on a couple people in this room, and I don't want this moment to be rushed. I want you to be sensitive to what is about to happen here right now. You see something oh Lord, I thank you. In the upper room, family, when everyone was gathered, because first of all, those who were not gathered missed out on something. This is part of the beauty of the local church, because God is attracted to unity, because unity is his essence. Jesus said that when he was praying for the disciples, he said, Lord, that they would be one as we are one. When God sees a united people calling his name, it attracts his essence. It attracts his nature. The all of heaven is looking and intrigued, and they're moved by what is taking place, and there are things that begin to happen. You see, the Bible says Jesus told the disciples, wait. Do not try to rush into anything, but wait for the Spirit to come upon you. What I love about that is that Jesus recognized there was an appointed time. But you know what would have happened? If there were people who were stubborn and they were like, you know what, Lord? You already used us. These were the same people who had cast out demons before. These were the same people who had prayed and healed the sick. They could have said, you know what? Why do we need to wait? We've already experienced power. But Jesus said, wait. And the Bible says they were all together in the upper room waiting and praying. And as they were praying, when the Spirit fell, it fell on all. All that were in this upper room experience. I'm seeing the Lord about to do something. And I want you to be sensitive right now. Because you see, for some of you, thank you, Jesus. We're getting back to that break every chain. Because what the Lord is showing me is almost like building blocks. And anything that is going to stop his building, he is uprooting. You see, there's some of you in this room. Now I have language for what I see. There's some of you in this room, and yes, you love the Lord. And you've been crying out to God. Because there's certain addictions that you struggle with that no one knows about. Maybe one or two people, you confide in them. But there's certain things that you have not been able to get a handle on. And I'm seeing a fire of God. But I'm seeing that this fire is to bring purification. That what you could not do in your own strength, God says, I am in this room. And that the strength of God will set you free. The strength of God will set you free. You don't even need to make yourself known. This is not about people knowing who's struggling with what. But I see the Father, and I see fire coming upon his people. If you know, and anyone could just join, it's not about showing people. I just want you to lift your hands up, and Pastor Roosevelt is going to prophetically worship. And I want you to be sensitive, and I want you to be honest with yourself. The very things that you know that you have not been able to get a handle of, the very things you know have been limiting you and have been a stumbling block in your life. You see, some of you, you've even said this very words that, why do I keep sabotaging myself? Why is it that every time I get so close to a destiny moment, I do something that sabotages myself? You had no control of it. You have found yourself over and over and over sabotaging destiny moments. And I see the fire of the Lord, and He's bringing purification. And you're going to be able to do things that you had no ability to do in the past. Because for this reason, He gave us the Holy Spirit. Pastor Roosevelt.